Radio Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Morning to all our listeners. Another lovely day the Lord has made. We rejoice in it and we're glad you're tuned into Radio Africana, and this is Morning Dew. Yes, Be Still. Lovely track there by Audrey Assad. You really need to be still in these times. Be still in the presence of the Lord. The Bible says, be still and know. And so we're talking about so much that we need to know about ourselves, about our very nature, about the nature of sin, about the presence of sin and the power of sin. And you know, last week we started a session, it's still in our walk with the Lord, but we're looking here at some of the conflicts, that's the way I titled it, the conflicts, challenges, and some of the contradictions we face as children of God. Sometimes some people call it conflicts, contradiction, challenges of being called. So you read the scripture, you are now born again, you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and there are things you read and you expect suddenly, it's like a new t-shirt, you know, suddenly this is who I am in Christ, suddenly there should be a manifestation, but it's not necessarily so. And so we struggle many situations or circumstances, we face challenges because certain truths are not taught, you know, and many struggle to get an understanding of these truths. And even when they're taught, I did say last week, you know, these truths, it takes us some time to get an understanding, you know, and of what they mean and how we can work with the process that we're going through, you know. And sometimes when you don't come through the path of being taught to understand, then you might go through the heart of school of hard knocks. You have some heavy experiences which cause you to want to learn what these principles, what these rules are teaching you, and give you to take you to that point where you have an understanding why you're going through certain things, why you struggle in certain ways, and some of the challenges you face. We went into a couple of scriptures. The book of Romans has been very helpful to us, and one of them was in Romans chapter 6 verse 14. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, right? For you are not under the law but under grace. You need to understand what does that mean. So it's a statement, sin should have no dominion over you. You are not under the law. What is the law? You are under grace. What is grace? How do we align ourselves, and how do we bring the entirety of ourselves, all our members, in line with that reality, you know? And so Romans give us a very extensive breakdown of how we arrived at that conclusion, but that's what the Bible says. What then, 15 says, same Romans chapter 6, it says, shall we sin because we are not under the law, you know, but under grace? God forbid. So that's not the issue. So we know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, and to whom you obey, whether to sin or to death, right? Or obedience into righteousness, right? So there's this choice, you know, to whom you yield yourself, you become servants. And what we need to understand is that in our old sinful nature, there's whom we yielded to by default. It is the way our members were controlled by that system. And so having been born again and having accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you come out of the influence, okay, the limitations posed by the fallen nature, posed by the law of sin and death, and you are liberated as you come into the grace of God. But you need to understand how to navigate that. You need to understand what needs to be shut down within your members, within your thinking, within your behavioral patterns, so that you can manifest the what fruits of the Spirit. You can manifest the traits of a righteous man, not just by mere declaration, but by the lifestyle that you live, you know. And these things we're trying to understand through the scriptures we studied yesterday, and then last week, you know. And he said, what does it mean, and how can this be applied in our walk? So we started looking, so a very extensive study of Romans chapter 6, all the way from verse 9, you know, through that 20 number verse 14, all the way to 23, really helps us. And that's what we're looking at last week. Okay, the situation is this, you know, that we need to understand. Before salvation, sin was like a slave driver, okay, and a master over all who are in this fallen nature. Now, as prisoners of Christ, okay, which Ephesians chapter 3, starting from verses 1 to 2, is making us to understand, you know, we are no longer under the rulership of sin. But how does that work out? What must we do? What are the changes we can make so that the grace of God and what that affords us and the benefits can be ours as well? And then that removes the conflicts, the contradictions, and the struggles that we face, not knowing our present nature or what our present nature should be compared to what it was before, not understanding that we're not under the law, but how should we conduct ourselves in righteousness so that we can come into the life that Christ promises us. So let's look again carefully at that Ephesians chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. It says, for this reason, because I preach that you are built up together, okay, that you are thus built up together. So the apostle was making it clear that there's a way we are being built up in Christ. He says, I, Paul, am the prisoner of Jesus Christ. So we see that our original situation before salvation, that we were like slaves driven by master, and the Bible makes us to understand to whom we yield ourselves, we become slaves. So we were under that system, we're driven by that slave master called sin. All right, so now the apostle here is making us understand, for the sake and on behalf of you Gentiles, all right, those of you coming into the faith, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace. So you need to hear the message of grace, the message of truth, the message of his unmerited favor that was entrusted to him, the apostle, all right, to dispense. He recognizes his responsibility to dispense, to teach, to disperse, okay, to your benefit. So this is, you know, captured in Ephesians chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. Very important. So he came under a new system, okay, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He recognized that that is whom he is now a prisoner to Christ Jesus, all right? Not that you are being driven by a slave master, but we've willingly yielded ourselves to the lordship of Jesus Christ. So that's important, all right? And that shift and that very fundamental change of track is what a lot of people don't understand. So they still take in what I call the seeds of unrighteousness and bear the fruits of unrighteousness, and then we wonder why, you know, we're not manifesting the traits of righteousness. You can't plant a seed and expect a different kind of outcome. The seed that has to bring the things that are not godly will bring the fruits of unrighteousness. You need to plant the seeds of righteousness to be able to manifest, harvest, okay, and gain the benefits, the attributes of righteous fruits. So we talk about the fruits of the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So you have to change track. So the first thing you must do is recognize what is it that causes that tree to blossom into unrighteousness, and everything that is that seed, you stop taking that into your system. So you move on to taking the seed of his word, which is able to manifest, able to bring you to a place, a season, a harvest of the fruits of the Spirit. And this is so important. And then that's where we understand why God's word is his change agent when it comes to change. All right. So he goes on to say, just as we were ruled over, okay, ruled over all people, just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us a right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, a couple of scriptures I did mention last week, Romans chapter 5, 21. We didn't touch much on that. Romans chapter 7, we looked at verses 4 and 6, and we touched on Galatians chapter 2 and verse 19. Right, so today I want to really look into Romans chapter 5 and see how we arrive at verse 21, okay? And it really helps us. And depending on what Bible you're using, if you look at from verse 12 and we're looking all the way to 21, it talks about the death through Adam and life through Christ. So that's what Romans chapter 5 is helping us to understand. So we're going to take that as our key scripture for today. We're trying to understand how we shift from the influence of sin and we come under the grace of God, and how we must be able to take seeds of righteousness that will bear us fruits of righteousness. Okay, so let's read from Romans chapter 5 and starting from verse 12. It says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, the death through sin, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. Of course, Romans chapter 3, 23 tells all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory. Now verse 13 says, to be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given. So this is very important. Sin was in the world even before the law was given. But sin is not charged against anyone's account. Right? So where there is no law. All right? So sin is not charged to anybody's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, right? Who is a pattern of the one to come. That's why it's called the first Adam, Right, verse 15 says, but the gift is not like the trespass, right? For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace, okay, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, who is the final Adam, overflow to many? So we understand there's a principle there. Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. So judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. So this is what justifies us to be called the righteousness of God. Okay, that we've accepted God's program, God's redemptive plan, and have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Verse 17, Romans 5:17. For if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? So it helps us to understand the shift here, helps us to understand God's redemptive plan, and helps us to understand what will happen once we subscribe, once we, you know, commit to, you know, making Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior and following his instructions as our Savior. So consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and a life for all people. So that we understand what has happened here. All right, and it's so important. I don't know if you've noticed, we started our journey all the way from Romans 8, then we came to Romans 7, down to Romans 6, and now we're in Romans 5. But what is happening here, you need to be a student studying the book of Romans. Like I said, all the way from Romans chapter 3, where it's telling of all of us have sinned. So understand that condition. Then you come to Romans 5, then you recognize the change that has been put in place. You can recognize what qualifies your justification. You can begin to understand why grace will take you into the righteousness of God. But also understand clearly the struggles, the conflicts, the contradictions you will have without this understanding. And so that's the truth we're talking about. All right, we talk about the challenges, the conflicts, the contradictions of being called. So you read the scriptures, you're called. Okay, you're called to be a righteous child of God. You're called into the body of Christ. You're called into this. You know, the Bible talks about your gifts and your calling there without repentance. So each of us is called. Each of us is given some measure of the grace of God, these attributes. But there's a reality of how we grow into the maturity, okay, of the unity of the faith and into the fullness of the mature status of the Son of God, which we've talked about in our previous sessions. So there is this understanding. You don't just get it because you read the scriptures. You need to understand the transition you are going through. You need to understand the change that you'll have to experience, and particularly the agent of change, which is God's word. All right, because that is what will really help us to go through the transition. Obviously, if you don't understand these things, then you're trying to obtain the results as if by your power, as if by your strength, as if by your own ability. All right, remember, this is grace, you know, God's unmerited favor. What you were not able or capable to do by virtue of your fallen nature under the master, the slave master of sin, grace has enabled you. That is the message. Grace has enabled you. But you need to understand the old nature. You need to understand the provision. You need to understand how it is that you transition into the reality of you becoming the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's not something by your strength you become. No, you have been declared the righteousness of God according to your acceptance of that. So literally what is happening is the fact that you have enrolled in the school of righteousness, the end result is that you become the righteousness righteousness of God. But prophetically, the Lord is declaring you the righteousness of God because of your commitment and your enrollment, your agreement and your acceptance of his redemptive package. Okay, so I hope that's very clear. And so Romans is really helping us to understand this, you know, little gaps in between. Okay, so where are we? Verse 19. For just as through the disobedience, which is Romans chapter 5 and verse 19, so it says, just as through the disobedience of one man, right, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, many will be made righteous. Right? And verse 20 says, the law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. Listen to that. The law was brought in so that trespass might increase. For where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So the more there's sin, then the capacity for grace to help also increases. Okay? And verse 20, it says, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness. So grace reigns through righteousness. Grace reigns through, you know, righteous living. Grace reigns through taking the word as a seed, following the instructions of the word of God, and anticipating and expecting the fruits of the Spirit to be made manifest. I hope I'm communicating out there. Okay, so let's look at the last part, verse 21. So that just as sin reigned in death, so this is the key scripture we're looking at, Romans chapter 5, 21. So just as sin reigned in death, so it followed that law into death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord is a lifestyle. Is an acknowledgement of what God has done. It's an acknowledgement of the process that has been highlighted through the whole of Romans as we have been studying. And it is in your obedience to those instructions, then that which has been promised will become evident. Okay? So you plant the seed of righteousness and you reap the fruits of righteousness. I'll take that again. You plant the word, okay, which is the seed of righteousness. You go through the lifestyle process of living rightfully before God, and you reap the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so it's a spiritual process, and it's so important that we understand these things. So again, emphasizing Romans chapter 5, 20 and 21, let's look at it. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. Again, I keep saying, the law came in as a school teacher, just to let you know that, listen, in your own strength, doing those things, as God, you can't fulfill the law. But it just showed us the bankruptcy of our situation without any guidance. Okay, so to increase, so that trespass might increase. But where sin increased, let us understand this, grace increased all the more. That's the important thing. All right, so even in the darkest of places, God's grace, God's ability to help his people, God's unmerited favor is available. And finally, verse 21, so that just as sin reigned in death, resulted in death, okay, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life, and through Jesus our Lord, okay, to bring us to this point. So I just wanted to really emphasize that scripture in accordance with the others that we had looked at. Primarily, for those of you studying, we looked at Romans chapter 7 verses 4, verse 6, and Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21. So that's like a recap and understanding the issue of being built up together, like the apostle said, and becoming prisoners of Jesus Christ. Willingly we yield ourselves, okay, to his lordship, to his government, to his rulership. And so He recognized that he had to distribute, he had to deliver. And that's why sometimes in the scriptures we looked at this scripture, this gospel that was delivered to you by the apostles who knew their responsibility. The same also applies to each of us. As we come to understand these truths, we too have a responsibility to deliver, to dispense, to teach other people so they can be liberated from the conflicts, the contradictions, okay, and the struggles of being called. Right, we'll take a break now and we'll come back and then continue with the rest of our study. I'm really trying to break it down. It's quite a mouthful of scriptures of what we need to study and understand, but we want to gain some understanding so that we can really look into our situations, look into our circumstances, and be able to apply ourselves to the truth that we've learned so that we can get a different outcome. Remember, if you keep doing the same things you've been doing and expecting a different outcome, it's not a very bright thing to do. And the Lord will help us in understanding this in Jesus' name. See you on the flip side of our break.
Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all, surrendering all. And find me here, Lord, as you draw me near. I'm desperate for you, desperate for you. I surrender.
morning. Yes, lovely morning. Lovely song. Lord have your way. Listen, lovely people, it's about surrendering to God's redemptive plan. It's surrendering to the law of the life in the Spirit in Christ Jesus and letting the Holy Spirit take you on a journey. If we were able to do this in our own strength, there will have been no need for Jesus to come. There will have been no need for God to send a redemptive plan. So because man was not able to, God has graciously, in his infinite mercy, made a way for us. When we say that he makes a way, this is what we're talking about. You cannot expect the way and the manifestation and the results, you still staying on the old track. There is a track, there is a shift, there is a paradigm shift, there is a mindset. The Bible talked about the renewal of your mind that must take place for this to happen. And so once you understand that, then you suddenly begin to see that what was a struggle, what seemed to have been a conflict, okay, this is how I'm living, this is the result I'm getting, what's going on? No, understand what has happened. Make sure you align to what will take you in the direction of your expectation. The Bible talks about for whom he did foreknow, he predestined. So God has known each one of us where we are now, and he's predestined. There's a destination he's taking you to, he's pointing you. So if you yield to his redemptive plan, you yield to the instructions of the word, you yield to the leading of the Spirit, you will get to that expectation. And then those things that you're reading prophetically will begin to make sense, because those fruits will begin to, you know, blossom. They will begin to have expression in you and through you and to your world as you come to have an understanding of these truths, as you come to have an understanding, like the apostle did, of your responsibility to disperse, to teach, okay, to walk with others as we walk with the Spirit. All right, we will get to our destination. You know, there's a lot that needs to be understood here. I think one of the scriptures, I'm going ahead of my notes here, but I really like, it's I believe it's John chapter 8 and verses 31 and 32. Many people know 32, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free, but the 31 talks about, you know, if you continue therein, in your journey, in this righteous living, in this lifestyle, you will come to know the truth. I don't know if I'm communicating that. It's a journey, it's a lifestyle, okay? It's like you enroll in a university, you enroll on a course, you will get to become competent. You are learning the trade, you're learning the skills, you're learning the knowledge, you're learning the behavior, okay? That will take you to that ultimate level of competence. That's what we're talking about. So if you continue in the word, you will come to know the truth, and the truth is what will set you free. It's not you just taking your Bible, I've accepted Jesus Christ, open your Bible now, suddenly you are that position. No, it takes years of growing, it takes years of development, it takes years of coming to understand these truths, walk in them, you know, test them out, okay? Be what I call an owner of a testimony. You hear tons and tons of testimony, but you cannot claim to own a testimony until you know what they knew, you did what they did to be able to arrive at what they took delivery of. I'll take that again. You can hear all the testimonies in the world and want to covet them, want to claim them, except you know what they knew, you did what it is they did, okay? Then you can take delivery of what they took delivery of. That's how it works. The Lord grant you understanding in Jesus' name. Okay, so just recapping that, we had a couple of scriptures. Romans chapter 7 verses 4 and 6. We looked at that last week. Galatians chapter 2. Our primary scripture was verse 19, but we looked at 17 to 21 for those taking notes. So Galatians chapter 2. 17 to 21. I just want to read something from Galatians King James Version. So just to reiterate our point, right? And I think verse 19 says, "For I through the law am made dead to the law." So through one law, you are made dead to another law, that I might live unto God. Okay, it's about you engaging in a superior law that delivers you from the influence and the power of a lesser law. Okay, so there's the law of you know, sin and death. And then there's the law in the spirit in Christ Jesus that leads you to eternal life. You need to engage in the component parts, the instructions, and be obedient to follow them. The superior law of the law in the spirit, life in Christ Jesus. And it will liberate you from the limitations you had in the law of sin and death. Are we catching this? So one law liberates you from another law. So what Galatians says, for I through the law am dead to the law. So it's one law is taking you out of the limitations of another. The Lord grant you understanding. He says that I might live unto God. That's the whole purpose of you coming into the law of the Spirit. Verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So we're living, yet not I. Now, this is so important. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who lived in me and gave himself for me. Now, this is so important, because when we were looking at Romans 7, it says, I find a law operating in my flesh. Can we remember that? We looked at Romans 7 and it says, I find a law operating in my flesh. But when you've shifted, what is he saying here in Galatians? Okay, he says, I am crucified with Christ. This is you acknowledging the superior law of the life in the spirit in Christ Jesus. Nevertheless, I live. So I'm living, yet not I. Okay, but Christ liveth in me. Okay, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So where we had the law of sin, okay, operating in our members, and remember in Romans chapter 7, he said, who will deliver me from this body of death? I find another law operating in my members. So that was the law operating in our members. But when we make the shift, okay, and we're crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Okay, so the rulership, okay, is Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, compared to what it was like before, okay, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I hope this is really making a lot of sense. You know, it's not one of those things this easy to dissect, break it down. But the Bible says, what, surely to show yourself approved, you know, a workman that need not be ashamed. Rightly we're dividing the word of truth here. Okay, you must be able to rightly divide it, understand the truths, understand what is communicating. Okay, so I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, neither should you. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So this righteousness we are talking about did not come by the law that we're talking about previously, which was a school teacher. It came by the presence of the personality of the Son of God. And when you acknowledge him, you are, you know, by default declared the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I really hope this has been helpful, you know, so that we understand, because this is a major struggle. It is a major conflict. It's the basis of a lot of contradictions that a lot of Christians, you know, face. So they read the scriptures and they look at the end result. And as far as they're concerned, I've given my life to Christ, so this is what I should be manifesting. Have you lived a righteous life? Are you conversant with instructions in the scriptures? Are you obedient to the leading and fellowship of the Holy Spirit? Are you sensitive to his voice when he's guiding you and directing you, when he's prompting you? These are questions that you cannot be saying no to and expecting the outcome. Then you've not been to the school of being led by the Spirit. You've not been to the school of the Spirit. You've not been to be able to hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep know my voice. My sheep are led by the leading of the shepherd. The Lord help us to understand these things in Jesus' name. Right. Okay, so we're moving on. And we talked on Romans chapter 8 verse 12 because it has something very important. Because we belong to Jesus, the power of the living, of the life-giving spirit has set us free from the power of sin that leads to death. So important. We find that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. That's the New Living Translation. Okay, I'll take that slowly. Romans chapter 8 verse 2. The power of the life-giving spirit. So there's a life-giving spirit in this superior law has set us free from the power of sin that leads to death, which was the lesser law. Okay, now Romans chapter 8 verse 12, it says we are no longer obligated to do what our sinful nature urges us to do. So there's promptings from your sinful nature, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, the Bible calls it. All right, so these are the yearnings of your flesh. But when you come to understand this revelation, come to understand these deep truths, he says we are no longer obligated to do what our sinful nature urges us. You know, time and time again, I hear people say things like, oh, it was the devil, I don't know, it was my flesh, you're giving an excuse. Listen, if you understand this and know that you've been liberated from that, there are choices you can make, there are decisions you can make not to go down the route of what your flesh is prompting you to. Okay, what your flesh is urging you to do. You have been liberated from that. You have capacity within by your new nature to live above that. And the Lord grant us understanding so that we can live in the real newness of our life in Christ Jesus. So it says, therefore, brethren, okay, this is King James. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. And then another version, the Amplified, says this. So then, brethren, we are debtors, but not to the flesh. Okay, so we're debtors to another system. We are not obligated to our carnal nature to live a life ruled by the standards set up by the dictates of the flesh. So these versions are there. Do your due diligence. You know, I believe the Lord will grant us understanding in these things. So those were the important things I wanted to really communicate, you know, and in that session when we're looking at what Romans can help us to understand when it comes to the conflicts, the contradictions, you know, of being called. Yes, you're called. Yes, you've been, but you know, give yourself time to come to that competent level. Give yourself time to come to that mature. Rather, yield yourself to the process so that you can mature into the fullness. We talked about that, the unity of the faith, the fullness. Okay, there's a stature in Christ Jesus that you're growing into now spiritually. It's not as if how do I put it, thank you Holy Spirit, the reality of what you are going to be is a settled matter. The victory has already been won. Okay, what you can become is already known. And the Bible prophetically reads that it's for you to knuckle down, roll up your sleeves, and walk in line with the instructions of righteousness. Walk in line with instructions that the Spirit leading you will guide you in, and you will arrive at that destination. For whom he did foreknow, he predestined. Romans chapter 8 from 29 to 31. So God knew each and every one of us. God knew this stage of our lives. God knew these challenges, these contradictions, these conflicts we'll be facing in our journey. But he's not left us frustrated. He's not left us stranded. He's not left us without a helper. And so he sent the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus promised to send the helper. So he's there to help you. You need to cash in. You need to, avail yourself of the help of the Spirit, of the ministry of the Spirit, of the tutelage of the Spirit. The reason why he's there is to help you, is to guide you, is to navigate you, is to bring you to a place of understanding. And I pray that as we yield ourselves, the Spirit will help us, okay, in coming to these truths. Now, Romans chapter 6, verse 9, Paul explains that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. So Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. So death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. Okay? For the life that he lives unto God. May the Lord help us to understand these things. Right, the King James, New King James, you know, version puts it that way. Then Paul clarifies how we can experience what Christ has experienced. He says in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, in the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That is the approach we need to have. Count yourself dead towards sin, but alive towards Jesus. So you count yourself dead to sin, turn away from all that sinful nature, shut down all the urges, your natural response to the urges of your flesh, and consider yourself alive to God. So count means to consider, to reckon, to think, to credit. I mentioned this last week. In the same way that Jesus is free from sin and death and alive to God, we must think of ourselves as free, right? So the Lord has declared you free. Think of yourself as free. And to get to credit or apply ourselves, you know, the same truth that applies to our Savior, Christ's freedom is now our freedom, right? So that is the reality of you being born again. You have the liberty of the sons of God. There's a freedom for the sons of God. There remains a freedom for God's people. There is liberty for the sons of God. And Christ's freedom is now our own freedom. Okay? And remember, sin shall not have dominion over you, because it has no mastery over Christ, in whom we live, we move, and we have our being. We have that in Acts chapter 17, verse 28. Okay? So, you know, a lot of scriptures there, but I think it's worth taking your time to study them, to really look and have a good understanding, and pause and see where you're at in your situation. We'll pause and see where you are in your circumstance. Pause and see what is causing the contradiction. If you're still living, you know, in this is how it's been, this is how I was brought up, this is, and you're not being informed by the instructions of the seed of God's word, then you're going to struggle with the outcomes. There'll be conflicts. It's going to be a contradiction, and that's where the struggle comes from. I hope this has really been helpful to, you know, our listeners out there, you know. So in recapping, you know, our session, summarizing today, we've gone through a lot. Our primary emphasis was on Romans chapter 5. We looked at verses 12 to 21, you know, and the key thing was that death came through Adam, okay, and life has come through Christ. And so Romans helps us to really understand that. Of course, we mentioned Romans chapter 3, 23, all have sinned and coming short of the glory of God. I want to encourage you to spend some time, you know, in your Bible studies with other people, so that you can all compare the scriptures. You can use different scriptural verses. Have a look, you know, in more depth at the book of Romans. It really breaks things down, you know, and you can, you know, augment that with this teaching series that we've been doing here. But from Romans chapter 3 all the way to Romans chapter 8, there's an extensive teaching on the nature of sin, okay, the presence of sin, the power of sin that's been broken, and later on, by the special grace of God, will be liberated from the presence of sin. But till such a time, we live in a sinful world, and we must know how to live. You know, be of the world, be in the world, but not of the world. So you live in this environment, but you must know how to live righteously, even with this environment. You can't be, Bible says, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So get acquainted with the teaching of the truth of God's grace. Be acquainted with God's redemptive plan and what He's put in place that liberates us from the law of sin and death. Okay, and if we take our time using the scriptures that we've been given, remember, like Apostle Paul was making it clear, for this reason, you know, because I preach that you are thus built up together. We're being built up together. The Bible talked about we're all built to a spiritual house. Okay? He says, I, Paul, am a prisoner of Jesus Christ for the sake and on behalf of you Gentiles. All right? So he's a prisoner. He recognizes that. He's having to go through this process, assuming that you have heard, you have been taught of the stewardship of God's grace and his unmerited favor, right? That was entrusted to me. So there's a message you must hear first. That's the seed. You hear that message, that seed comes into your heart like a seed sown. You learn how to nurture it. You learn how to cultivate it so that it can grow and blossom, and it will deliver to you fruits of righteousness, the righteous, you know, seed of God, the life of God, okay? The attributes that we've been talking about in several series. But there is a being built up, there's us being yielding to Jesus Christ as our Lord and his government, okay? And we must have come in contact with, you must have heard of the stewardship of God's grace. You must have heard of the teaching, okay, of the word of God, the gospel of truth, and it's been dispensed to you. And I cannot overemphasize it. We all who have come to the knowledge of that truth also have a responsibility, like the apostle, to dispense this truth, to teach others, to bring them to a place of understanding. And the Lord will grant each and every one of us more understanding. The Lord will bless each and every one of us for doing our bit. So lovely people, it's been a pleasure being with you. I just want us to pray, commit, you know, what we've learned today. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name. We are eternally grateful for your word that sustains us. We want to thank you for the presence and abundance of the, you know, ministry and power, gifting and leading of the Spirit. I pray, Lord, that as many as hear, even this which we have shared today, let it release grace to them that hear. Let it empower them. Let it bring insight. Let it bring illumination. Let it bring transformation. Help them to navigate through the change that they need to go through. Cause them to get to their expected end. And at the end of it, Lord, having done all that we've been instructed to do, we ask, Lord, that you will crown our efforts with blessings. You will crown our efforts with success. You will crown our lives with joy. You will crown our territories with expansion and increase. You will crown our lives with the blessings of God that make it rich and added no sorrow. You will do great things for each and every one of us. And so we thank you for what you have done today. Thank you for what we know you've started as we take in the seed of your word. And we ask, Lord, that you who is in charge of the harvest, you are the Lord of the harvest. You are the Lord of the outcome. You are the Lord of the breakthrough. You are the Lord that knows the end from the beginning. I pray that you bless the lives of each and every one of our listeners. I pray that you bless them for being obedient. I pray that you will surprise them, you know, take them to levels far above what they can imagine or think, just because they have acknowledged you, they've obeyed your word, and they've applied themselves. The blessings of God that make it rich and added no sorrow remain on each and every one of you. Till we meet again, same time, on the same channel. Bye for now, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, gone before us, and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest.